Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call, 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weedsday Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, EasyMarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week. Along with the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Weed Day Wednesday.
Good morning, everybody.
Woo! Welcome to Awesome Weed Day Wednesday.
Awesome? Is that right? Thing?
Yeah. What?
Awesome.
Awesome.
I think I got the girl across the street at the coffee place to start listening to us.
Oh, sweet. Hello, girl at the coffee place across the street. Savaya. We'll say Savaya. We love Savaya coffee.
Right.
And our cannabis kid even tried the coffee and said...
I'm not a coffee drinker.
No.
It makes my tummy hurt. But
yeah.
This coffee was...
He's a sensitive boy.
I don't know what it was. It had hints of citrus in it, which really intrigued me. Because I'm a big fan of terpenes and flavonoids and
well,
all that
said it right
kind of
there.
Stuff.
You want to have a terpene every once in a while. Have a sip there.
Have a sip.
How's your morning, cannabis kid?
Good, doing good.
Can you believe it's the end of April?
We're flying by. Months like they're, I don't even know.
Tech guy was just saying there's something going on this weekend with AZ for Normal, and I said, it's not this weekend, it's in May. Jeez, this weekend is May. Oh my gosh.
This weekend is 3rd and 4th, actually Jell-O Wrestling,
with
the Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation is this
nice.
Weekend.
Nice, where, when, time?
At the historic Slaughterhouse down on I-10 and Grant Road. And
tell us what Jell-O Wrestling does.
Jell-O Wrestling benefits the Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation. It's just a fun, wacky way of,
supporting your community.
Supporting your community and getting in some Jell-O.
Treated to a fun show.
Yeah, it really what it is
Miss Star going to be out there?
Janae Star, well, I thought she, I'm not sure if she's going to be there. I know Lucinda Holliday is hosting it.
I'll be there, Janae.
It's going to be an evening event, so it starts at 5 o'clock, doors open. So it's not going to be so hot during the day.
That was the one I went to, was really hot.
Really hot,
we
so it's
going
to be the evening, it's going to be
good.
Nice and cool. We're hoping to expect a lot more people. This is going to be a fun event. Like I said, everything
it's
goes
Saturday.
To support. Saturday at 5 o'clock at the historic Slaughterhouse.
Go to the Folk Festival during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Go see AZ for Normal. We may or may not be there, I'm not sure. It's a crowded event, it's hard to get into. But they're trying to work with us. They really like what we do. Yeah, they're really great there. They said they love what we do, and they're trying to get us in. But it's jam-packed with performers and vendors. And like I said, AZ for Normal will be there. We'll go. We'll have our brochures down there so you can at least find out how to get certified here in town.
There's a whole lot going on this weekend.
Whole lot. Jell-O Wrestling and folk music. I like
folk
it.
Folk music? Normal meeting?
Second Saturday. Oh, boy, you're throwing
I'm jumping.
Throw
well, it's
yeah,
already May,
jumping.
So we need to talk about it.
Yeah, let's just talk about it. Well, since it's almost, is it January, February, March, April? It's the last day of April. I got to get on my game tonight.
You got to what?
I got to get on my game tonight. My best friend and I have a game. We have to wish each other happy whatever month it is at the stroke of midnight.
Oh.
Whoever gets it every month wins. I've been doing this for years. And she tried to cancel every time I moved to, like, another state because she didn't want to wait up or, nope. We played through.
Good
now
job.
We're back on the same time zone, and she's been kicking my booty this year.
Wow.
All four.
Right. Well, is there a way you have to train for? Or, like,
sometimes
get on
you
the
have
phone.
To set your alarm
get on the phone.
For, like, 11:59, get your text ready. It's either a text or a Vox or something, and it has to have a timestamp on it. I was there. Oh, the pressure of best friends. Don't you love it?
I do.
Well, we
I
could read, because I don't think we did. You said you found an interesting article that I just messed up.
That's right here.
That's good. In the, what is, where are you reading this from?
We are reading this from the Arizona Medical Marijuana Program newsletter.
April 2014.
Mm-hmm.
They're still printing it out.
I think
on fancy paper.
It's really funny. I think there's a way that we need to go in and like contact someone and say, you know what, I'd rather have this in an email version, because I sometimes get it on an email
and sometimes
I don't get it.
And sometimes
so
you
I
get
think
it in
it's
the
almost
mail,
every other
get,
month
yeah,
for
maybe.
Some people. So
that's
like
kind of
maybe
strange.
You're on, you get the May newsletter.
Maybe.
It and I won't. May. I'll get it.
Yeah.
You may be.
You may be.
Too early for that.
I know. Wait.
Just kidding.
Now I'm getting
all right. Employee jokes. Rights. So this is an Arizona Medical Marijuana Program newsletter, April 2014. Employee rights. This is workers in Arizona have more protection than those in other states to consume medical marijuana and still hold jobs. Experts agree. Arizona is among 20 states of the District of Columbia to legalize medical marijuana. Employers in Arizona are prohibited from discriminating against patients with medical marijuana cards unless an employer would lose monetary or licensing regulated benefits under federal law or regulations, according to the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act of AMMA. Most states do not have this anti-discrimination clause, said a labor and employment lawyer with the Phoenix law firm. Clearly, we have had this issue. The lawyer said employees have protections if discharged and they have a medical marijuana card. The tricky part for employers, she said, is when the employee or candidate tests positive for medical marijuana and is terminated or the job offer is revoked despite having a medical marijuana card. Those eligible to use medical marijuana must be diagnosed by an Arizona board-certified physician with an AMMA approval debilitating medical condition.
That's very important.
Right.
It has to be
approved. And it has to be approved condition. But anyone who goes through that process is already...
If they have the card.
Right, if they have the card.
Good.
And so someone was asking me the other day, their friend's going through nursing school.
And I get this question a lot.
And you know what? As a nurse,
is it okay for a nurse to be certified?
Be certified.
Well,
and I think yes. I think just like anyone else that was on Vicodin or opiates, you know, when they have, I don't know.
There's a lot to say about the other end of the world and opiates and narcotics and things. It's not pretty.
Well.
Read on.
All right. So,
here we go. Where
are we? Register with state administrative program and receive a medical marijuana card and purchase up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana each week from a licensed dispensary. About 40,000 Arizona residents have registered with the state and are qualified to use medical marijuana. Because marijuana is considered medicine, Arizona patients may find protections if they lose their jobs or discriminate against in getting a job, or discriminated against in getting a job. Although employers may also find protections under the AMMA, and Phoenix lawyers state, employers are often alarmed and think, oh my gosh, what are workers going to do? That's what's happened to an employee of Goodwill Industries of Central Arizona. He was fired after testing positive from marijuana. In October, an appeals board with the Arizona Department of Economic Security ruled in the employee's favor and awarded him unemployment benefits.
All right.
Traces, so that's one for the books, definitely.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Traces of marijuana stay in the body for days or even weeks after use.
I was told up to a year even by my physician.
Well, it depends on how heavy of a user you are.
Yeah.
And if they're just testing for THC.
Well, then it could,
And it can be unclear when marijuana was consumed. Unlike alcohol, which stays in the body for a relatively short period of time.
Right.
The timing of marijuana use is different, was difficult to pinpoint. House Bill 2541, first regular session in 2011, helped employers navigate the change in employment laws pertaining to drug testing of employees and protections for employers. More importantly, the employment law clearly defines the term impairment with a set of symptoms such as slurred speech, the inability to walk, and strange behavior.
I wonder what strange behavior is.
Yeah, what is that?
It's probably a happy person, you know, someone who's happy. It's very strange.
God, I would have gotten in trouble so many times. In addition, the employment law clarifies that employers may exclude and reassign or place the employee on paid or unpaid leave based on the employer's good faith belief that the drug could cause an impairment or otherwise decrease or lessen the employee's job performance or the ability to perform the employee's job duties. The law especially applies to workers in safety-sensitive jobs.
And I want to know why. In this particular case happened in New York. Somebody was fired instantly. 10 years of had a job, nursing. Fired instantly for using cannabis. Now their coworker was a complete alcoholic. They sent them to a rehabilitation program and they kept their job. Why? You know?
Well, it goes back to the stigma again. It's this stigma that you're using a drug and it's not a medicine in the person's eyes that made...
I mean, it's just unreal what
that decision.
The people... Our government needs to put the ads out that cannabis is okay so people can just quit thinking in their stone-age ways, you know?
Yeah, stoned-age ways.
Ah, they need to be. Okay, sorry. Go.
You're fine. As noted in the AMMA, this existence of marijuana metabolites may not necessarily mean that the employee is under the influence of marijuana while at work. The law also states that the employer can take action against patients if they used or possessed marijuana on the work site or during work hours. Although it must protect employers and employees alike, the Arizona Department of Health Services, ADHS administrators, the medical marijuana program, and cannot make the determination of whether an employer is discriminating against a patient. Additionally, ADHS cannot provide legal advice, recommendations, or representation for cardholders who may want to pursue legal action against or on behalf of the employer.
Well, yeah, that's a good deal. You gotta get your own lawyer. Get a good lawyer, Tom Dean.
So this article also appeared in Arizona Small Business and Association magazine.
Interesting.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
I read this because I know me and Belle were talking last night about the metabolites in the system.
Yes.
And so that kind of led right into...
Well, and let's see, if you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, do I have that? Yeah. Arizona's marijuana DUI laws changed for the better. The state Supreme Court ruled Tuesday that Arizona authorities can't prosecute motorists in Arizona for driving under the influence of marijuana unless the driver is impaired at the time of the stop. This ruling overturned a decision last year that upheld the right for authorities to prosecute marijuana users for driving under the influence even when there was no evidence of impairment. The state Supreme Court explained that while state statute makes it illegal for a driver to be impaired by marijuana, the presence of inactive metabolites or non-psychoactive compounds such as CBD from marijuana does not constitute impairment under the law. Attorney Michael Alara III stated that this does have far-reaching impacts on medical marijuana patients and it basically corrects an error in the interpretation of the law. And next week, actually, we are going to have LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. They will be on our show to discuss this very thing about metabolites. And they said something in here that made me think, that doesn't happen very often, inactive metabolites. So what does that mean? Like if you just use cannabis or what if you're on an edible? Or, I mean, is something, how is it inactive versus active? And if it's active, does it mean you're impaired?
Yeah.
No. Maybe not necessarily. Now we know with alcohol, if you go over the 0.08, you're that's pretty impaired, and especially for someone my size, teeny tiny.
Inactive.
So,
I want to just write this down. So
inactive metabolites. And they use the non-psychoactive compound CBD, and that's a good example because a lot of people come in here and they get, they buy the Vital D and Dixie high CBD products, tinctures, lotions, candies, and they ask that very question, if I get in trouble at work, I mean, if I get tested at work, is this going to get me in trouble? And I say, well, you can tell them you're using hemp products for sure, because you are, and those are legal.
Right.
And
you can
they
get
can
those.
Go from there. You don't have to be a patient mm-hmm. to use them, which is really nice. You can get a lot of relief from these products without having to go through certification. But if you do want to get certified, come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Yes, it's our third place, Three's a Charm. We love it. We have a ping pong table. Nice weather. Come down, hang out, get some education, play a little ping pong, get certified. It's a beautiful place. Least expensive certifications in town. I don't want to say the cheapest because we're not cheap here. We have new hats and shirts and pens with our fancy logos on them. So come down, support the cannabis community and buy some goodies. We have some wonderful, I'm just launching into sales right now. We have a wonderful product called Holy Smokes.
Yeah, the home of Holy Smokes right
this
here.
This is the home of Holy
mm-hmm.
Smokes.
Yeah.
I love that. Organic botanicals.
Yes. Yes, vaping products.
Herbs and spices.
That
everyday herbs and spices that enhance life for
mm-hmm.
you.
Exactly.
They can help you mellow out. And they can bring a little creativity and energy just like cannabis can. And in fact, if you use it with cannabis, it can potentiate the cannabis effects.
It works synergistically.
Yeah, they work together.
An entourage effect.
They got a buddy system. Yeah, let's just put it in layman's terms. They're but best
friends. They like friends. They're friends.
Terpenoids. So check this out. I thought I put that on here. There's a survey that says 53% of doctors support national legalization of medical marijuana. And I tell you, being here at Tumbleweeds Health Center quite often, there are doctors from all over this town now sending people here to get certified and to just talk about cannabis education. It's incredible.
It's not such a big deal, is it?
When Tumbleweeds first opened, there was like one doctor in town, and he was already certifying patients, and that was it. And now we've got a couple dozen. It's awesome. Medical marijuana might be legal in 21 states, but it is still not widely prescribed by doctors across the country, despite the majority of doctors and patients supporting its use. According to a survey by online medical resource WebMD, 69% of doctors and 52% of patients polled say marijuana delivers benefits. Regardless of past restrictions, a majority of patients and doctors see marijuana as delivering real benefits to treat patients, says Michael Smith, chief medical editor at WebMD in the research report. Uncertainty is the next largest response, with 37% of patients unsure of marijuana's benefits versus 20% of doctors. Not bad. Among the nearly 1,500 doctors surveyed, 82% of the physicians in favor of medical marijuana were oncologists and hematologists. What's more, a wide majority of respondents say medical marijuana should be an option for all patients. However, the support of legalized marijuana has its limits. According to the survey, 53% of doctors and 51% of consumers oppose legalizing it nationally for recreational use. Shame on them. WebMD and its Medscape unit polled 3,000 consumers along with 1,500 doctors for its reports. And support for medicinal use of marijuana is strong even in states where it's legal. According to the survey, 50% of doctors practicing in states where it's banned say it should be legalized, while 52% of doctors practicing in states that are considering legalizing it for medicinal use support the practice. 49% of consumers living in states where it is not legal support legalizing medical marijuana. Well, that's why people are up and moving out of their own home states to go to places like Colorado, Arizona, Washington, to get help. Smith says the findings of the survey indicate the medical community supports the use of medical marijuana, but more studies are needed to boost doctors' confidence as to where medical marijuana can help and where it may not. Despite more than 20 years of anecdotal evidence about the medicinal effects of marijuana, doctors and consumers remain in search of answers, he said in a recent press release. Well, I don't know why they're only using 20 years. Why don't they go back to the pharmacopoeia? Hello? And, okay, George Washington, Lincoln, Ben Franklin. Come on.
And then let's not talk. I hate that they discourage, you know, the whole Eastern medicine philosophy, which is where all of our stuff is built upon.
Yeah. well,
and
this whole planet.
The pharmaceutical company, I mean,
yeah, you don't even. Yeah. Even with growing support for the use of cannabis to treat medical conditions, the number of doctors prescribing it is low, at least among survey respondents. According to the report, 2% of doctors and 7% of patients said they use medical marijuana. Currently, 21 states plus Washington, D.C. have made medical marijuana legal. Is that 21 and a half then? Do we consider D.C. the half state?
Yeah.
21. Okay, 21 and a half states. I like it. And Colorado and Washington have made it legal. There are currently 12 states, including New York, Montana, Delaware, considering legalizing marijuana for medical and or recreational purposes. And this November, they actually changed it in Alaska. It was going to happen in August, but it's now going to be voted on in November. Alaska's going to get legalized.
Oh, I saw that.
Yes.
I did.
Even with support among doctors for medical marijuana, doctors and patients are wary about the side effects of marijuana for medical use. According to the report, 51% of patients said they were unsure about the side effects, but only 9% feared they were severe. Doctors, on the other hand, were split between the side effects being mild to moderate. Despite the potential side effects, 45% of patients and 49% of doctors say the benefits of medical marijuana outweigh the risks. That is awesome. That's a really remarkable thing for anybody to say.
That's a good report with all those numbers right there. Just
kind
of lays out the facts.
But basically, I like that. Mm-hmm. They say the benefits of medical marijuana outweigh the risks. And the risks are the things that they really don't know of right now. You know
right.
I mean? The side effects are...
Dry mouth.
Sleep. Dry mouth. You can get
eye.
Anxiety. Red eye. You can get anxiety if you use a strain that's too high in THC you're not familiar with.
Right.
You know? That can create that. Some people have vomited from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read that eating edibles can be... very hallucinogenic.
Mm.
Yes. So
for someone just starting out?
Even for those that aren't.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I know. Look at this. Light bulbs are crashing all over the room. Tech guy's laughing or giggling, I should say.
I know. I'm just trying to think.
And I are like, wait a minute. No, wait a minute.
I haven't really. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, see? Take two brownies and call me in the morning.
Yeah.
There's a threat. I'm telling you. We're going to take a Wednesday off. We're hiring at Timberleaf Health Center. All right. Oh, boy.
Temporary workers.
Yeah, we're going on strike. This is what I was going to talk about. Talk about something giggly and fun. The Colorado Symphony links up with the medical marijuana industry. This is awesome. In Denver, they're saying it's bring your own weed to the Colorado Symphony Orchestra. They will play a series of fundraising concerts sponsored by the state's burgeoning pot industry. I can just see Pink Floyd, or I can hear it now, you know?
You said the Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars would be good. Yeah. What else? You know, you got to probably do some Star Trek. There's Trekkies out there who like to do that, too. Symphony CEO Jerome Kern told the Associated Press that the move was part of efforts to reach a broader audience. The state's only full-time professional orchestra, like others across the country, has struggled with dwindling audiences and budget problems. The cannabis industry obviously opens the door even further to a younger, more diverse audience, Kern said. In return, he said marijuana companies get the legitimacy of being associated with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra. Under state law, and that's huge.
It is
that's
very
huge.
I think more than anything is that the support from both.
But being associated with something like
right.
that's really big, you know, especially
yeah,
for the industry.
But there's
we
also
need
has
to
be
start
the
associating
support.
Ourselves
yeah.
with
bigger places where
respected, respected organizations,
yeah.
you know, and yep, there could be quite a bit of financial gain for both sides here.
Right.
Yes, so under state law, retail marijuana sales have been legal in Colorado since January. The first state to lift prohibition has seen hiccups, including questions about the safety of edible marijuana products and packaging, and scrutiny by the federal government, which still considers marijuana dangerous and illegal. But Kern pointed to the poll results released Monday that show 52% of Coloradans think marijuana legalization has been beneficial, and 67% disagree with the sentiment that legalization has eroded the moral fiber of the people in the state. So they're for it, and they probably see financially it's going to provide a lot of jobs. There are going to be so many jobs opening up there for them. Wow, think of the trimming.
The moral fiber of our country.
Think of the trimming. Just the trimming.
I can't even believe that they bring that up.
Sticky fingers.
Moral fiber of the country.
Moral hemp fiber. Woo-hoo! love it. Oral hemp fiber, we're going to change it. Curran said he has heard complaints from at least one musician and from symphony supporters about the concerts dubbed Classically Cannabis, the High Note Series. The first three will feature small ensembles of symphony players at a downtown Denver gallery. The series culminates with a concert at Red Rocks, an amphitheater outside Denver where the symphony and pop rock groups play. Now, I would really like to see Stevie Nicks there. This is a cannabis-friendly event, according to an events listing on the symphony's website, but cannabis will not be sold at this event. It is strictly BYOC. Bring your own cannabis. Oh, I love it. I can't wait. Jane West, whose Edible Events company is organizing the series, said concertgoers will be able to bring joints as well as edibles or tinctures of marijuana for personal use to the gallery and will be able to inhale in a separate smoking area.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, guests must be at least 21 and purchase $75 tickets in advance. Sponsors include Ideal 420 Soils, a company that claims its product grows the highest quality marijuana. We try to create upscale events where people can come and enjoy some cannabis just like they would a glass of wine, said West, who has previously hosted similar marijuana events. For the final show at Red Rocks, which is owned by the city and county of Denver, West said organizers will follow the rules police dictate. Smoking pot at the famed venue is officially banned, though that was long before recreational marijuana became legal. Another series of symphony events restricted to the 21 and up crowd is Beethoven and Brews, which brings musicians to a trendy downtown hotel bar to play at local breweries as they offer tastes with tickets ranging from $40 to $65. Judith Inman, a member of a volunteer guild that has organized balls under more traditional classical musical fundraisers in Denver for decades, has reservations about the marijuana mashup. I know that the symphony needs new sponsors and they're trying to go after a younger group, she said. I just don't think this is the way to go about it. Well, that's her opinion. There you go.
But, you know,
I think that's awesome.
To go to,
well, and it's okay for them to have, Beethoven and Brews. They probably had that for years and years and years.
Beethoven and Brews?
Brews. Yeah, Brews. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Beethoven and Brews. So you go to a local bar and pay $40 to $65. So for $10 more, you're going to go to Red Rocks Outdoor Amphitheater, listen to the symphony.
And why?
In perfect stereo.
But why did, and this is the thing, is they're bringing back the stigma of, yeah.
Just to get Stevie Nicks on the radio show, that's all I have to say.
I think Red Rocks is just an amazing place.
You know what I think's amazing?
Mm.
This song. Puff, puff, puff,
$20 in my pocket. I'm a huntin', looking for a pot shop. This fucking awesome.
Walked into my house like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of ice tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pizzas are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cotton mouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
She
know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons, I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peep game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a run, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hun, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
That's great. We have our own sound effects. Sorry, with tech guy rolling around over here. The vape game. Is that a real game online? The vape game. No? Dang it. Games are so fun. Yes, so the symphony. Should we have a symphony here? Should we approach the symphony leaders and ask them if we can...
Well, what's cool about Denver and Colorado is it's legalized everywhere,
symphony.
So there's allowed smoking is allowed.
You know what's awful is that cigarette smoke stays around so much longer and it's so much grosser.
I know.
And when people go outside to smoke and they think they're not bothering you, it's all over.
Right.
What else you got? Oh, there was something else on tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. You can check that out. Oh, check this out. Uruguay prisoners are now allowed medical marijuana. You heard that right. Uruguay is making the case for the coolest country on the planet again with the announcement that they will be allowing inmates to use marijuana with their doctor's recommendation. Julio Casalda, Uruguay's drug czar and architect of the legal marijuana infrastructure, announced to the Associated Press this week that any inmate with a doctor recommendation for marijuana to improve their mental or physical condition will be permitted to smoke while in custody. Meanwhile, Daniel Olesker, the social development minister, announced that medical marijuana will also be introduced into the public health system, meaning that marijuana will soon be available alongside such Eastern-style medicines as acupuncture. Uruguay hopes to have everything in regards to their legal marijuana venture wrapped up in the next couple weeks. However, actual legalization won't take place until year's end. That's just really awesome.
You have a little...
I know, I saw that.
Yeah.
There's a smoking weed with the president of Uruguay video. Is that on the Tumbleweed Health Center?
It sure is.
You can go to Facebook. And if you go to, it's facebook.com/THCAZ for Tumbleweed Health Center, AZ. And that's where we are. And there's a video of someone smoking with the president, right?
Who yeah, one of, it's
Did
actually one of the guy from Vice. He's a...
Oh?
Just a YouTube news.
A news guy?
Yeah. YouTube news.
All right.
Kind of thing.
Okay. More states are implementing marijuana-related laws. Such states as Utah, Alabama, Mississippi, Wisconsin, and Kentucky have put into effect similar medical marijuana or CBD laws, cannabidiol laws, this year in hopes of eradicating epilepsy. Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin, signed a bill into law last Thursday which legalizes use of CBD to treat children suffering from epilepsy and other illnesses that result in seizures. This came as somewhat of a surprise to residents of Wisconsin, as Walker has been typically opposed to any type of marijuana reform in the past. It's believed that many families were prepared to leave their home states to seek treatment in marijuana-friendly areas if medical marijuana/CBD laws weren't established. Many of these bills only apply to cannabidiol, CBD, which has little to no psychoactive effects on the user, and it must be administered by a sanctioned doctor. Wow. I hope they don't mean daily. They have to go to their doctor to get their daily cannabis tinctures. Anyway, maybe just the doctor has to give it to them. Anyway, that's great. More families should not have to leave where they're living and
no.
change their lives completely just so their children don't suffer. I mean, it's really ridiculous that anybody would allow that to happen. There is, did we read about this, the first vending machine to debut in Colorado?
No, but I heard about it. We had a lot of stuff from last week, but we didn't get to read, but this was one of them.
I thought there was a vending machine up in Phoenix at one point, but this says the first ever marijuana vending machine will make its debut in Eagle Vale, Colorado, later this month. The machine goes by the name Zazz and is produced by a local company by the name of American Green. The machine was unveiled to a crowd outside of a barbecue restaurant in Avon, Colorado, last Friday and received a great response. Consumers will be required to swipe their driver's license through the vending machine in order to verify their age and identify an identity before they are allowed to make any type of purchase. Alongside this, there will be multiple cameras covering all angles of the machine to ensure that anyone making a purchase is in fact the same person that their license claims.
Mm.
Greg Honan, owner of Herbal Elements, the dispensary slated to make the vending machine debut, says, "We're looking forward to using the Zazz machine to easily track all inventory. We're going to eliminate the middleman." Wow, that's interesting. I don't know that I like that. I don't think a lot of people are going to like eliminating the middleman, because the middleman is your bud tender who people like to talk to. People want to ask questions about their
medicine.
And that's
fine, and they'll go to those places. But yeah. The ones that
just
like to use this as
go.
recreational,
oh, yeah,
which is
true.
A recreational.
Yeah, pretty much what vending machines are
yeah.
for, recreation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same people that don't go to the grocery store, but they get all their snacks out of the vending machines.
Ah, yes.
You know,
yes.
Remember, cannabis is kind of falling into that category where it's their sugar, their nicotine,
their choice.
Their choice, yeah.
Well, speaking of legalizing in Arizona, this article says from azmarijuana.com that recreational marijuana could be legalized in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
A recent poll in Arizona revealed that most people would like to see marijuana legalized for recreational use. According to the Behavior Research Center's poll, 51% of Arizonans agree to legalizing recreational marijuana, and just 41% disagree. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, NORML, says marijuana is far less dangerous than alcohol. You never ever hear, "Look at that smoker starting a bar fight," or "That marijuana user driving a car and killing 5 people." When is the last time you heard of that? Says NORML's Eric Johnson. Attorney General Tom Horn, the chief law enforcement officer for the state of Arizona, has adopted a wait-and-see approach. Colorado and Washington are experimenting with that, recreational marijuana legalization right now, and there are a number of questions that have been answered and will be answered, said Horn. It seems to me wise to wait and see what happens. Does it have to have negative effects on society, or does it not?
Hmm.
They want to see, they're
going
to legalize
thing.
It. They will. They'll do it. If it's not this year, it'll be in 16. They'll definitely do it. Everybody wants it done.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Well, this one I have, are cannabinoids and hallucinogens viable Ooh. Treatment options for headache relief?
Interesting.
Now, we all know that cannabis
really
helps
headache.
With headaches.
Yes.
And pain,
mm-hmm.
Seizures.
Mm-hmm. Nausea.
So it says, San Francisco, with the headache community, desperate patients have tried just about everything for relief. Patients have been using cannabis for headaches for several decades, and more recently has been suggested that hallucinogens may induce remission of cluster headaches.
Hmm.
At the Headache Cooperative of the Pacific 7th Annual Winter Conference, Brian E. McGreen, MD and MPH, discussed the use of cannabinoids and hallucinogens for headaches. Dr. McGreen is an assistant professor of neurology at Boston University School of Medicine. Marijuana for migraines. Patients' testimonies may may abound, but far as evidence-based medicine goes, there are no blinder studies for the use of cannabinoids for headaches. Dr. Magrini pointed out that use of cannabinoids for pain started in the 1970s, and a shorter paper in the early 1970s in headaches described what was essentially a withdrawn headache, which you can certainly get, especially with the daily use of cannabis. And this goes on to say that different studies are going to be going on. The CBDs, and or the talk about the CB1 receptors and CB2 receptors being that they're in the brain, and cannabis really relieving those painful headaches that people get.
They do. And migraines are not technically listed on the state-approved ailment site, right?
But
chronic pain is. So that's where those fall.
And that's what I was telling people, is that if you have... if you're talking to your doctor about chronic pain and one of your chronic pains is a headache, that's considered your chronic pain. And if you're taking large amounts of pharmaceuticals to get rid of that, cannabis could be a different approach to the headaches.
Well, check this out. I love that we're learning about the science behind all this and why we feel so good when we use it. Because we've always known we felt good when we use it. We just haven't known technically why. Now we're learning about terpenes and all sorts of crazy things.
Cannabinoids.
So this book is called Marijuana Medicine. I'm going to read just a little bit. It's called A World Tour of the Visionary and Healing Powers of Cannabis. And it's awesome. It goes and talks about the different cultures around the world, shamanism and how they used it, how the Indians used it, both Indians, how the hemp among the pharaohs, hemp in Russian folk medicine. And they just use the term hemp, just generally that's what they call the plant altogether. Really great book. I got this actually at the book fair. Yeah, I got a couple really great books at the book fair there. But this is just one of those little great inserts. The first part of the book is very technical, and I was reading it the other day. I had to reread a couple things, but it's really great. It says the most important active substances in hemp. Remember, they're referring to cannabis as hemp, just generally here. In addition to essential oil and other substances, the predominant components of hemp resin are the cannabinoids, more than 60 of which are now known structurally and pharmacologically. The main active ingredient is delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, and it has euphoric, stimulant, muscle-relaxing, anti-epileptic, antiemetic, appetite-stimulating, bronchodilating, hypotensive, antidepressant, analgesic effects, and others. Cannabidiol, CBD, has no psychoactive properties but does have sedative and analgesic effects. Cannabinol, CBN, is mildly psychoactive. Its primary effect is to lower intraocular pressure. It also has anti-epileptic effects. Cannabigerol, CBG, is non-psychoactive but does have sedative and antibiotic effects. It also lowers intraocular pressure. Mm-hmm. And CBC, cannabicromine, has sedative effects and promotes the analgesic effects of THC. So we're learning that the other cannabinoids in the plant
work,
they're synergistically. Yeah. We love that word. They help each other. They're best friends. They help each other work better.
Wow, that's
but it's
good.
Awesome. There's so much about this plant and this is an older book. I think this was written in 92 or rewritten, I don't know when. Ooh, 57 at first, and then 98. Whew. Oh, 2001, that's the latest. All right, we're going to have to get this one updated again because it's a really great book. And then it goes into, talks about hemp oil. It says, obtained from hemp seeds, hemp oil, not to be confused with hash oil, possesses an unusually high amount of mono and polyunsaturated fatty acids, approximately 90%, which are great significance in human nutrition. The essential fatty acid linoleic acid, 50 to 70%, and the omega-3 fatty acid alpha linoleic acid, there's 15 to 25%. They merit special mention. 10 to 20 grams of hemp oil are sufficient to meet a person's daily recommended doses of these two fatty acids.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? That's why people have been using hemp oils and hemp products like that for so long. You can go to Whole Foods or Sprouts and look in your refrigerated section and find that. Did you know that, this is great, they're talking about botany and taxonomy, but in the course of botanical history, the following names have been published for the species and varieties of hemp. In 1737, it was Cannabis sativa. In 1772, Cannabis lupulus. In 1783, Cannabis indica. 1792, Cannabis photens. 1796, Cannabis erratica. 1812, Cannabis macrosperma. 1905, Cannabis generalis. 1908, Cannabis americana. 1917, Cannabis gigantea. 1924, Cannabis ruderalis. 1936, Cannabis pedemontana. And 1960, we go to Cannabis intersida. And it goes on to tell you who came up with all these names. But it's pretty amazing. They call, and they actually say that indica is very psychoactive, and they call it Indian hemp.
Hmm.
1783, Cannabis indica. And they give you different definitions of how they grow. And sativa growing tall and thin, and indica's growing short and stocky.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was as significant as the buffalo were to the Indians. Cannabis was to every culture, the culture of the Great Plains. So this is a really amazing book. Then it goes in to talk about shamanism, which they say is not an actual, it's not a religion, but a technique of consciousness that is associated with special individuals. Archaeologists have interpreted the famous cave paintings of the magician with antlers from Les Trois Frères in the French Pyrenees as the artistic product of psychedelic trance. Prehistoric finds near Wismar have confirmed that Stone Age shamans did indeed wear stag masks. The stag skull mask that is now on display in the museum comes from the 6th millennium BCE, as does the oldest hemp found, and suggests the existence of a Neolithic stag hemp shaman. Wow. The alchemist Agrippa Nietzsche wrote, "The stag heals the insane and the mad." So the stag hemp shaman healed the insane of the mad back in 1486. That's awesome. So shamans are running around healing people with
cannabis.
Isn't that amazing? Yep. There you go.
That was a lot.
I know. It was a whole lot. Oh, here's the Egyptian smoking blend. You ready for this?
Yeah.
So cannabis and the pharaohs. Combine equal parts of...
This is a recipe?
Yeah. We're going to make this. Combine equal parts of henbane. Henbane. Hysoscamus muticus L. And female hemp flowers. Cannabis. So henbane and cannabis. The mixture is best smoked in a water pipe. If no Egyptian henbane is available, any other species of hysoscamus can be used. All contain the same active ingredient, although they are most likely highly concentrated in the Egyptian henbane. So get out there to your local hippie store and get some Egyptian henbane and try it with your cannabis. Oh, we're looking it up right now.
Egyptian.
Here's something interesting about the ancient Egypt, cocaine and hashish in ancient Egypt. Scientists at the universities of Munich and Ulm have found traces of hashish, cocaine, and nicotine in Egyptian mummies. The drugs were present in the hair, bones, and soft tissues of all 9 mummies studied. The material was taken from mummies from the period of ca. 1070 BCE to 395 CE. The find makes it possible to draw conclusions about the lifestyle of the population of the time and make comparisons to present-day practices. Apparently, the Egyptians even used drugs to pacify crying children. This can be seen in papyrus, in which a brew of poppy seeds and fly excrement is praised as a surprisingly effective sedative drink. The researchers had previously detected hashish, cocaine, and nicotine during the investigation of several Peruvian mummies. Gross, poppy seeds and fly poop.
Mm-hmm.
And they give that to the kids, huh? Huh? Well, nighttime tonic. Here, Jimmy.
Well,
go to sleep.
It's kind of like those white flies. Is it the white
flies? No,
no. No, nothing to do with that.
In ancient Egypt, many psychoactive plants were known and used in both medicinal and ritual contexts. The blue lotus was probably the most important of these plants. And that was from the Temple of Flora. Wow. The ancient Egyptian name for hemp, which is written in Egyptian writing, and I can't really give that an English description. Can you describe that in English?
Ooh.
Dash, kind of an eye, dash, kind of an eye, kind of a storm. That's my Egyptian. So there's some archaeologists out there going, I know this. I know what this is. I'm going to dry it out. Say it again. Dash, kind of an eye, dash, kind of an eye. Ooh, rock. Maybe that's a rock in slight thunderstorm, clouds and rain. What do you think? The Egyptian name for hemp. It's the symbol.
Oh. Interesting.
And that's how it's written. It is very interesting. Maybe we'll have to take a picture of that and put it online. What do you think, tech guy? Yep. He says, yep. That's what
so
it's
the
oh, okay.
Hyoscyamus plant is a hyoscyamus.
I remember saying this
the
wrong.
The small genus of a flowering plant in the nightshade family. Solanaceae, the 11th species that contains generally as the henbane.
Oh, henbane.
All of them are toxic.
So the Egyptians smoked this toxic plant with their marijuana.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay. So the Egyptian goddess Isis was known as the magically powerful, the magically abundant, and the great magician. She was great in magical abilities and had the reputation of having extraordinary cleverness, cunning, and endurance. Isis was primarily the goddess of magical and healing plants, and hemp stood under her protection, drawing from an ancient Egyptian linen painting. Wow. So hemp protected Isis. She used it for protection.
Huh.
I like it.
I like that too.
I like that a lot. This is a really great book. I apologize. We don't have any for sale.
We'll find some for sale.
All right. In the ancient Orient, the belief in the magical powers of plants culminated in the idea of the herb of life. A wide variety of plants with healing properties were characterized as the herb of life. For example, one Assyrian who had recovered from a serious illness said, I drank the life of herb of my mistress, the goddess Gula, and I recovered.
Hmm.
And here's their label from a modern hemp beer brewed in Switzerland. The Mesopotamians knew how to brew beer with hemp as well as how to use it for medicinal purposes. That's great. There's a bunch of people harvesting hemp in Switzerland on the little cover of their beer bottle there. Isn't that great?
I love it.
I love it.
They're all happy.
All right.
Gardening.
They are happy in gardening. It's what they should do. Scythian horse nomads are credited with spreading cannabis throughout Asia. Because of their activities, hemp became one of the drugs used in Russian folk medicine. Wow, I wonder if they just went about the hills on their horses throwing hemp seeds at
them.
Behold the hemp. I can hear it now.
Long live the hemp.
Maybe that's what it really says. It said long live the queen. It was long live the hemp. I don't know. Just what do you think? The most important power which allowed old Russia to arise and grow was the goodness, hospitality, affability, friendliness, and amability of the prince. If he acted in an appropriate manner, then heroes would speed to him from all corners of the world in order to partake of the happiness and the grace which surrounded him. There were also the choice inebriants that he used, the herbal wine and the mead, and that flowed endlessly around him. Much in this fairy tale world actually appears to have arisen from supports of shamanic sessions. So it's no mention of hemp. I'm sure he used it. What do you think?
I totally think he used it.
Oh, no. Before cocaine was introduced to the Western dentistry as a local anesthetic, it was a common practice throughout Eurasia to pass smoke from henbane and hemp over a painful tooth. Special devices were developed for this purpose as this illustration shows. That is not a happy illustration. And it looks like a vaporizing pen with a little twist on the end there. You could, like...
Almost like a...
Yeah. They know those pens they clean, they suck the water out when you're in the dentist, you know? It looks like that, but it looks like they would be pushing in the hip and henbane. Well, we got to get to the store and get some of this stuff.
Yeah, I found it online.
Yeah? You've already bought some?
No.
No?
It's in a botanical that they use in homeopathic medicine. So you can get it. It's in pill form, so it's more for medicinal use. It's, I guess, not so. I guess toxic when smoked.
And here's something interesting. This is a recipe. This is from the shaman. The hemp plant, here referred to as canape, as depicted in the manuscript Medicina Antiqua, the 9th century, attributed to pseudo Apuleius, it is listed as a remedy for nipple pain and frostbite. Well, there you go, mothers. Yeah, ow. Well, frostbite maybe just numbs the heck out of you.
Yeah.
In Eurasia, juniper needles were often mixed with marijuana flowers to make shamanic incense. Juniper is one of the oldest incense of humankind and is utilized by shamans and folk healers wherever it grows. Huh. So we've got juniper and marijuana, henbane and hemp. We've got some serious recipes we need to try here. Wow, this is really great.
A lot of good info.
Yeah, this is a lot of good info. You can just bring all these teeny tiny little blurps, and they've got digestive drinks, milk-producing drinks, a smoking mix, an aphrodisiac, and this is all from the Southeast Asian conchas, hemp in Southeast Asia. Well, that is one crazy book full of good stuff. Okay, let's see here. What do we got? We got a few minutes left. We'll start a little theme song.
Yeah.
And we'll probably work our way through a couple things. And yeah, this weekend is the folk festival. So get on out there and support the folk festival. And then go get in some jello wrestling after the folk festival.
If you haven't gotten this month's Culture Magazine, stop by Tumbleweeds and pick one up. It's got Sanjay Gupta on it. So anyone who's, you know, having some conversations about cannabis, this is a great person to have them listen to or read about.
And guess what? Sanjay Gupta is now following Bell Star on Twitter.
Nice.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that crazy?
Well, he's probably wanting to know what's going on.
Probably wants on the show. I can't. Bell needs to figure a way to text this guy or message
him. It would be great to get him on the show.
What else is in there real quick? They've got some upcoming events, I'm sure, but we love this magazine. Culture's great. We didn't get a chance to read through this very much.
No, we didn't.
But we got a fun fact for on the road. Where's that, the numbers section? You know, the little numbers thing, the numbers game.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it right there?
No, that's the hit. This is spring cleaning and detoxing your body with him.
Oh.
Well,
we're going to find the number section here. I think it's more towards the beginning. Yeah. You can actually go to iReCulture.com and check out their online there it is. Nope. Yep. Nope. Oh, I still don't like the gun thing. We're going to talk to our law enforcement against prohibition next week, but we'll give you a fun fact real quick before. The number of university research centers in Arizona that are dedicating to conducting clinical trials regarding medical cannabis? One.
The number of signatures that one Arizona cannabis group needs to get cannabis legalized initiatives on this year's ballot. 259,213.
Yeah, a whole lot. They need a whole lot. The age of one infant in months who will be moving from New York to Arizona with his family in order to obtain the appropriate cannabis medicine?
Nine.
Well, that's sad that they have to leave their own state and all their family and friends to come get cannabis, but welcome. Come. We welcome you. We welcome you here. Again, AZ for Normal will be at the Tucson Folk Festival. Our brochures will be down there. We're at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard if you want to come check us out at Tumbleweeds Health Center. And you can do the TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com thing. And there's news, information, there's holy smokes up there,
lots of product descriptions. Just peruse around the Tumbleweeds Health Center website. It's got lots of good information. There's a science
area. There's education area.
News,
find out what
calendar,
you need.
See what events we're going
to
be at.
If you're a cannabis patient now, this is a great page to pass along to friends because it gives them the step-by-steps, everything that they need to know to get their card, and even make an appointment online, which you don't have to talk to anyone. You can just make it, come in, walk in. And the girls down at Tumbleweeds will take good care of you.
And we're going to add an email section to the site that you can put your own email in if you want updates, because we will send you spam every week. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to thank you for joining us
this morning.
Thank you for always our international bloggers and listeners and
cannabis users.
Everyone on Grand Island. Woo! Thank you for tuning in, Grand Island.
Love you, everyone.
Yes. And as always, remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Educate.